Satan is sending against us, and we don't seem to know where it's coming from and when and who's doing it. But saints of God, let me tell you, this is Satan's work. He's doing it. He's behind it. And if we don't realize it, we'll get swept up in it. So let's come to realize what God says is the truth. You know, the Bible was not written for us to just sit up and read it and enjoy it and shout over it. And it's actual a warning of Satan. That's what it is. It's a warning about Satan. I know when the Bible tells us that it warns us that Satan is coming to the earth. I know you've read that scriptures. The Bible warns us that Satan is coming to the earth.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare Fanfest with Evangelist Wonder Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bell. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want you to turn your Bibles to a very familiar story found in the book of Luke, chapter 15, a very fascinating and intriguing story about the love of our Heavenly Father for us. It is such an irreducible love and undefined love by the greatest of measures. We can't understand. No wonder Isaiah said, there is no searching of his understanding. We don't understand why God loves us like he loves us. And that's a wonderful love. He loves us with an everlasting love. And that's a love, my brothers and sisters, we ought to be grateful to God for. Rita, I want you to read the 20th through the 23rd verses just for the sake of time. It's a familiar story. You know it. I'll top it off for just a few of you who may not be familiar with it, but I just want to pull out some high points. Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 20.
Luke chapter 15, verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Verse 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Verse 23. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry.
Hallelujah. May the Lord bless his word and the hearers of his word. For just a little while this morning, I want to speak from the subject, One Glad Dad. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, pastor's going to talk about One Glad Dad. Now give him some praise in the house today. My brothers and sisters, this story is certainly one that is evident of the love of God. And those of us who are born again know the personal experience of this precious love from our Heavenly Father. It supersedes the best love from the best father here on planet Earth. The love of our Heavenly Father reaches from eternity to eternity. The depth is so great that no man has ever fathomed to reach the bottom. His love is so wide that it encompasses things that we cannot comprehend. And so you hear in this story just a tad bit of the revealings of the love of our Heavenly Father. It is an earthly story, but it is of our Heavenly Father. Now, of course, this is traditionally known as the prodigal son. The word prodigal means extravagant. It means to go over the end, the deep end. It means to go beyond. And instead of talking about the son, and in this regard, it was talking about the prodigal son's spending. It's talking about the son's spending. But the real prodigal is the father, because it's talking about his love for his son. Now, the story is of one that gives to us a helpful, holy hint as to how our Father deals with us, not only in the face of our mess-ups and our mistakes, but it deals with his love for us in the midst of others not seeing nor feeling about us the way the Father feels about us. His own brother, I'll just jump to the end right quick, when he came back to the house and heard all of the merriment, the music, the dancing, the rejoicing, the shouting, all that was going on, he called one of the servants over and said, "What do these things mean?" And he told him, "Man, oh happy day, your brother who was lost and is found, your brother who was dead and is alive, your brother has come back home, and your father has killed the fatted calf and thrown a celebration for him." Now, you would think the older brother would have run into the house, grabbed his young brother, and embraced him with the kind of love the father showed, but not so. And the only reason why I'm jumping to the end is to help you understand, I'm so glad the father's love does not, again, become affected by those who don't feel the same way about us. In other words, he doesn't take recommendations from those who don't love us the way the father does. Look at what the father does. The father comes out, since he wouldn't come in, and explains to him why he is so glad, so happy, so overjoyed. And he tells him, "This, your brother, was dead and is alive. And on top of that, he was lost and is found." But now, here's what the brother says. "Lo, these many years I served you, never rebelled, never transgressed, and yet you never gave me a kid. Now, not the fatted calf, but a kid means a goat. You never so much as gave me not a calf, but he's downgrading it and said, you never gave me a goat to share with me and my friends for my faithfulness to you, which goes to show you his motive. He was doing what he was doing. It seemed to be as a grim duty. You know, when people do things begrudgingly, it almost don't make sense to do it. You know, and I don't know. I've come to that point in my life. You know, if you don't want to do it, don't do it. Don't do, because you ain't blessing me and you ain't blessing yourself. And God is getting no glory out of that. And if you can't see beyond yourself to bless somebody else that God considers worthy to be blessed, then something is wrong with you. So let's get back to the Father now, because I want you to see. Though the Son asks for the portion in verse 12 that falleth to him. Now, this seems selfish, but aren't you glad that your Father know you? Know your personality. He knew his son. And so the son went to him and said, listen, Dad, I don't want to wait till you die to get my portion. I'm of age now, and I'm ready to see the world. Give me the portion that falleth to me. Now, according to Deuteronomy 21 and 17, it was the responsibility of the father. If the son wanted his share, or if he no longer wanted to manage those assets, that he had to divide it up. The eldest son would get a double portion. And in this case, because it was only two, then the son, second son, would get one third. That was his portion. So the father didn't argue with him. The father didn't debate with him. The father went there and divvied up his share of the profits and gave it to him. And not many days afterwards, somebody say, not many days after, he was in a hurry to live his life. Wild child running wild. Listen at this. I'm going to tell you three things about him because we don't have the time to tell the whole story, but it's right there from verse 11 to verse 32. Listen at this. That wild son took everything he had. Why? Because he wasn't planning to come back. And so when he left fast. It didn't take no time for him to, plan out his journey and all the things he was going to do. He got it and he made up his plan as he went. So he started off fast, and he went to a far country. Why did he go to a far country? Because he knew what he had in mind. It wasn't right, it wasn't good, and it sure wasn't holy. And he did not want to disappoint his father's name. So he wanted to get far away where nobody knew. You know how it is when you get to a place. I know you don't do it now, but when you used to be in the world, you go to somewhere where nobody knows your name. And then you get to that place where you can let your hair down and let it hang down low. And you wear clothes you wouldn't wear at home, man. You drink drinks you wouldn't drink at home, man. Y'all going to act all holier than thou. I'm talking about when you used to do it. I know you don't do it now. Can you at least help me here? And so he wanted to go far away so he could do what he wanted to do without the word getting back to his father. Your son has brought your name down into the gutter. And not only did he go far, but he lived fast and furious. He spent up everything he had so fast, being Mr. Big Shot, buying drinks for everybody in the house. Set it up on me. Everybody in the house. Everybody in the house get a drink. Lord, you know, I know y'all ain't been out to clubs that long to act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. He was Mr. Big Shot, man. I mean, the women loved him and the boys held on to him because it was a free drink from him. And all he spent, everything, I mean, party after party, night after night, everybody looked for him to come because he was big money grip. But what he forgot was his money would not last forever. And the Bible says a famine came into that town, that whole land. And no man, listen at this, would give to him. Wait a minute. What happened to all his party friends? What happened to all those men he bought a drink for? Whatever happened to the ladies that was hanging on him? I mean, by the droves, when one go, others come. What happened to all of those people that couldn't get enough of him? When he needed them the most, they were not there. So he went far, he lived fast and furious, and then he fell. And when he fell, he had to join himself to a citizen of that country. Now, he's a Jew. Now, obviously, this was a pagan country. They were raising pigs. And so it was in the eastern part of course, the world, in the Mediterranean areas and so forth. And, of course, the swine was, I mean, big business. Pigs, for those of you who don't know, hogs. And so he sent him in to his fields to feed the swine. Now, listen at this. The Bible says that he had to eat the food that the hogs ate. The hogs ate. Now, what was that food? Well, those of us who know anything about the country know that was slop. Thank you, sisters. Brothers gonna act like they don't know what we talking about. Yeah. It was slop. It was the corn eaten off the cob. And then there was a fruit called the carob fruit, which the pods of the carob fruit looked like a horn, and it was a sweet fruit. It was the lowest grade food that was humanly consumable, and they fed that to fatten up the hogs when they were getting ready to go to slaughter. So he found himself eating that kind of food. It was human grade, but if only the poorest of the poorest ate the carob fruit to stay alive during the times of famine. And so he ate that, and then the Bible says he came to himself. He came to himself. How many servants do my father have? Now that shows you the richness of his father. How many servants he can't even count that his father have, and that have food and enough to what? Spare. Thank you, Bible reader. And enough to spare. And here I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. Listen, make me as one of thy hired servants. Now listen at this now. Can I tell you, I don't care how much you think you are, time and unrighteous living will break you down to the most common denominator now. He was broken down to the point where he was eating slop in the hog's pen, and he recognized, wait a minute, I'm the son of a blessed man. I am a privileged son, and here I am in a foreign country eating slop. He came to himself and said, I'm going to humble myself and go back home and tell him I messed up. Now listen to what he says, because it's something interesting. Make me as one of thy hired servants. There were two kinds of servants. The servant, just the servant, was really the house servant. It was the ones that were looked upon as family members, extended family. You know, servants who lived in the house, who took care of the children, who raised them, who were like butlers, etc., caring for the need. They were these servants. But he said hired servants. And the difference between a servant and a hired servant is that a hired servant was a day laborer. He was the one that worked for a wage per day. In other words, he would work today and be dismissed at the end of the day. And if he was needed, he'd come back tomorrow. And if the man needed him, he'd work the next day. But he was simply a day laborer, a hired servant. So he goes from being a son all the way down to a hired servant, not living in the house, just working in the fields to get enough to pay for food and possibly some lodging somewhere. And so this is how much he knew he had messed up. And when he got to the house, he was on his way, rather, and his father was looking for him. Every day, the father would walk. Well, here somebody might ask, how did the father know it was him? Because the Bible said he was a great or far way off. How did the father know? I'm glad you asked. Because he was walking on the road that belonged to his father, back to his house. Are y'all hearing me here? And it was the same road that he left on, that the father was looking for him to come back on. And so when the father every day would look for his son, there he knew that someday his son would be coming back home. How do you know, preacher? Because he prayed for his son. He covered his son. He talked to the father for his son. His son, listen, was an extension of him, and he gave him the tools to be successful, but the choices his son made were up to him. And because he knew his personality and he knew his nature, he knew he had enough sense. If he ever messed up to the point where he lost everything, he could always come back home. So here he's coming, and that happy day came when the father saw his son coming home. Now listen at this. He didn't leave like he came. He left high and lifted up, but he came low and scraggly coming back in. He saw the posture of his kin beaten down by the choices he made in the world. He saw the cruelty of the world that was happened upon his son. He knew what to look for. He looked like any old hobo, any old vagabond, but he knew it was his son. And so when he recognized him with certainty, the Bible says he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Can you see the picture? He's glad. The son looks like mess. Long, scraggly hair, beard messed up, clothes stained by the slop from the pig pen, the stench of sin all over him. The soul that had been darkened by the choices he made. And the dad was glad to see him. So much so that he tells his servant after the son never gets to tell him, make him a hired servant. All the son gets to do is say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. And that was all. He didn't get to say, make me as one of thy hired servants, like he had prepared to say before the father told the servant, bring me the best robe. The best robe. Why would you put the best robe on a son who was fallen like him? Because he was one glad dad. Listen. He wanted his son to know, you fell from grace. I know you brought disgrace upon yourself and the family, but none of that matters now. You have come to yourself and you have come back home, and all that matters to me is you're alive and well. Listen, Isaiah 61 and 3 tells us we put on the garment of praise. And in that day, when there were great celebrations of praise, people would put on their best garments, the robe of praise. So Isaiah 61, 3, why? The man wanted him to put on the garment of praise because that was about to be a celebration. Told his servant, get me a ring. Put on his hand. The ring, listen, according to Jeremiah 22 and 24, and again, going back to Pharaoh's day, when he put on Joseph that ring, which was an insignia that said, this is the power of attorney, and he's got the right to act on my behalf. And with that ring on his hand, on the right hand, he could take care of business, which said he was restored back to his sonship, and he had the power. Y'all not hearing me today? As a restored son. Then he says, and shoes on his feet. Ephesians 6 and 15 talks about putting shoes on the feet, the gospel of peace shine. Have your feet shine with the gospel of peace. Why? Because peace had come to his heart. Because he had the sense enough to come back home. And he had the ability. And I need to tell you, servants didn't wear shoes. Only sons wore shoes. Yes, Lord. Some of y'all are going to catch that on the way home. When he came, he had no shoes on because he had become a servant. And his father elevated him back up to the status of a son. And then he said, kill the fatted calf. The fatted calf was usually a calf reserved for dignitaries or for special occasions, which those who were rich had put aside for when a special guest would come. They would take the fatted calf and they would slaughter him and have a celebration. And so he loved his son so much that he thought it worthy that that calf that they reserved for great honor and great guests was slaughtered in his honor.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do